Welcome to the Research Impact podcast series. I'm your host, Yvonne Kiley. I am the Research Impact Officer here at the University of Limerick. On today's podcast, I will be talking to Dr. Clodagh Toomey, Research Fellow at the School of Allied Health, Faculty of Education and Health Sciences, and winner of the President's Excellence in Impact Early Career Researcher Starting Award 2023. Joining Clodagh on today's podcast is Stacey Grealis, who lives with rheumatic muscular disease and is a patient researcher and patient contributor on numerous research projects in this field. And Ian Dowling, who's a chartered physiotherapist working in private practice from his clinic based in Raheen, Limerick. Clodagh's research focuses on improving musculoskeletal and general health in chronic conditions and injured populations. Despite being the world's leading cause of pain, disability and healthcare expenditure, the prevention and management of musculoskeletal health, including conditions such as osteoarthritis, is globally under-prioritised. Clodagh's contribution to this field have generated research funding exceeding 1.3 million. The research combines participatory methods and implementation science to ensure evidence-based knowledge is translated into healthcare systems, policies, and practice. Clodagh's research is an exemplar of excellent and impactful research tackling real-world problems. Congratulations on your award, Clodagh, and thank you for joining us today. First things first, Clodagh, I'm intrigued to know how this idea evolved.
First of all, thanks for your congratulations, Yvonne, and delighted to accept the President's Award, and thanks as well for your invite to the podcast. So where this all started, I suppose I had been working as a postdoctoral research fellow at the University of Calgary in Canada, and it was on quite a specialised area of osteoarthritis, which is post-traumatic osteoarthritis. And this is quite prevalent in people who have sustained a traumatic knee injury after participation in sport. They tend to get a more rapid onset of the joint disease. So we were working with youth who had sustained knee injuries under the age of 18, and then we were following them up over a period of time to have a look if we could prevent the disease from occurring. And I was interested then in bringing these research ideas back to Ireland when I moved back to work at the University of Limerick, where I had also carried out my undergraduate degree in physiotherapy and also my PhD over 10 years ago now. So when I returned, I realized that, you know, while prevention in this group is quite important, there was actually a much larger group of people who were being underserved in terms of delivery of kind of evidence-based programs to rehabilitate in the form of exercise and education, and particularly for those with hip and knee osteoarthritis. So actually, you know, the lifetime prevalence is quite high of this disease, up to 45%. So that's a lot of people who are going to end up with knee OA, but it is often not prioritized very well. So during my time in Canada, I'd collaborated with a number of Danish researchers, Professor Eva Roos and Professor Soren Skou, who had co-developed this program called GLAD. And this is a non-profit initiative, and it stands for Good Living with Osteoarthritis Denmark. So what it is an exercise and education program for people with hip and knee osteoarthritis. And it was born really out of a frustration that it wasn't being implemented widely in the health service. So it was a bottom-up approach to teach physiotherapists how to deliver the program. And it was doing exceptionally well in terms of improving patient outcomes in this population, and had also been adapted for implementation in Canada and other countries. It's now available in over 10 countries around the globe. So I had been in touch then with Professor Roos about bringing the program to Ireland. And actually at the same time, Limerick-based physiotherapist Ian Dowling had been in contact with them. And so Professor Roos linked the two of us, and we all sat down then to think about how we could make this happen in Ireland.
Thanks, Clodagh. And Ian, I suppose, can you tell me about why you were interested in the program and its relevance to the healthcare system focusing on improving the lives of people with osteoarthritis in Ireland?
Hi, Yvonne. Thanks for having me. I suppose I need to go back a little bit there just to give you a bit of a background into myself. So I'm originally from Kilkenny, and I came to Limerick over 20 years ago now, studying sports and exercise science here in the University of Limerick. And I was playing rugby with a local club here, Shannon. And so then in 2005, when I graduated, I got offered a 10-month development contract with Munster, which turned into a six-year long professional playing career. So there were many highs and some lows during that time. And it's the lows that helped shape my approach, I suppose, to physiotherapy. This was the lows are the injuries. So I probably had about four significant injuries two injuries to my left medial ligament on my knee, with a bit of meniscus damage there as well, hamstring injury, and then I had a career-ending injury on my right hip. When you're a professional rugby player, you have access to a lot of services. And it isn't until you step out of that professional career and join the real world that you realise that there is a lack of services that are available to there. So then when your approach is an exercise-based approach, which Eva Roos and Soren have successfully implemented in Denmark, and you can kind of see then the impact that has had, not only in Denmark, but at an international level. It was something that resonated quite strongly with me, and I reached out then to Eva Roos, looking to see how we could bring this to Ireland. And from that initial call, I was initially a bit discouraged, because what separates GLAAD, I think, from other hip and knee education and exercise-based programs is that research arm. Because if you're looking to make a real impact in a country at a national level, you need to have that data to implement real meaningful change. So I finished up slightly discouraged with my initial call with Eva Roos, thinking I was going to change the world myself. But thankfully, she got back in touch, sent me an email saying, it just so happens that Clodagh had been in touch at the same time. So I was delighted. Obviously, it was here in UL as well, because I've done my sports and exercise science degree here, physiotherapy here, I've completed a clinical research master's here, and it's a very progressive university. So I was delighted to be able to link in with Clodagh, and it's taking this time and to be part of the steering committee now and to meet Stacey and the rest of the committee. The way Clodagh has coordinated all the stakeholders that are important to make that meaningful change at a national level has been very enjoyable and encouraging.
So Ian, could you tell us some more information about the GLAAD programme and what does it comprise of?
Yeah, so the GLAAD programme itself involves 12 exercise-based sessions. They're group-based sessions, and then two education sessions. This is typically goes over the course of 6 to 7 weeks. And what the patients really like is that how the exercises within the programme can be individually tailored and just adapted to their level. And then by the end of the programme, they have a solid understanding of how to progress, regress, exercise, and that ultimately pain doesn't necessarily mean harm. So it's okay, or can be okay, to exercise while there is some discomfort or pain. The education sessions then, a lot of the feedback seems to be just in terms of how they can manage their osteoarthritis. They may experience pain flares. What GLAAD does, it basically gives you or gives them a toolbox that they can then fall back on and use those different tools to help them manage through if it is just a pain flare or just their typical everyday activities that possibly prior to GLAAD they were a bit restricted or quality of life was maybe a bit diminished, but hopefully helps to improve that quality of life.
To follow on from what Ian has said, there's a load of different locations where GLAAD is available on the glaad.ie website. You can be referred in by your GP, or you might like to discuss this with your GP to see is it suitable for you. And when you arrive at the class, you know, you will have the likes of Ian and the other physiotherapists go through the class with you, and you build on it each week, and you're recommended to do those exercises at home a couple of times a week. And I suppose it's building and improving each week. And I suppose there might be people that's listening to this today that might feel a bit daunted, but you know, come and join, and there's great camaraderie and great support throughout it. And it'll give you another insight into how to manage your condition to the best of your ability. And it'll open doors for you and things that you mightn't have been able to do for a while or pushing off doing. And each week, I suppose what I've learned from doing these things is that if you cannot do something, the physiotherapist will show you how to adapt it and be able to embed it in for you to ensure that you can do it as easy as possible. Because that's the great thing about GLAAD. They will show you exactly how to do it that's right for you based on your ability. So join up, look in on the website or speak with your GP, and we look forward to seeing you at the next class.
We know that exercise and physical activity are really beneficial for people with osteoarthritis, but it can be a difficult decision or you know, finding it hard where to start with it. What GLAAD does is that it empowers the patients and gives them that confidence back in their joint. And this is really important to increase their physical activity, because we know that people with osteoarthritis often have a number of other conditions and can lead to often having a number of other chronic conditions. And that's why when they go to speak to their GP, often osteoarthritis falls maybe a bit further down the list of things that they present with. But actually making that first step, getting all that information to increase their physical activity, building up the strength in the joint, building up the confidence in the joint, can then give the person lifelong skills to be able to be more active in their daily lives. And that's the main goal that we have for GLAAD.
And I suppose it has a knock on as well for their other conditions, Clodagh, and they will see improvement in their other multimorbidity conditions by improving their exercise and functioning.
And I suppose you did allude there to research and the need for research to improve and to tackle real world problems. And Clodagh, this project really exemplifies our excellent and impactful research. Can you explain what the research behind GLAAD Ireland aims to do?
Yeah, well, as Ian alluded to there, there is a really important research component to this programme. And I suppose in sitting down and designing, you know, what this research project was going to be about, you know, having a look at the research that's there, there's actually hundreds of randomised control trials done already. So like, we have really good high quality evidence to say that exercise works for osteoarthritis. The problem is actually implementing that in practice. There's a bit of a gap there. We don't know why this evidence isn't available in the real world. And that's not just an Irish problem, it's a problem globally. So what that means is that a lot of people with, you know, chronic joint pain don't get access to the care that they need or that should be available to them. So the aim of this research really was to co-design and measure the effectiveness of the implementation strategies to put these evidence-based programs into practice across private and public healthcare settings in Ireland. So an example of what an implementation strategy might be, and things that we're sitting down together to design, would be maybe different resources that we put in place for physiotherapists when we train them up to deliver the programme. It could be an advertising or promotions campaign to make sure that we increase the knowledge of GLAAD, not just amongst patients, but also, you know, the physiotherapists, the GPs, you know, referring consultants, the general public. It also might be looking at different funding models to make the programmes more available in community settings, for example, to put it out there. So it's really anything that helps the uptake of the program, the implementation of the program, and importantly, kind of the sustainability of the program in healthcare settings. And so this research uses implementation science methods, but also importantly, it combines this with a participatory health research approach. And that was key to get the program into practice. So as a researcher, basically, I knew that, you know, I have some level of expertise, but I actually don't have the expertise that we need to understand why these programs are facing the barriers that they are and how we can tackle them. So what I needed for that were people who were, you know, living these conditions, you know, facing these problems in the healthcare system, and the people who were trying to deliver them out in different healthcare settings as well. So what I did was to bring together this project steering committee, and that's made up of the important stakeholders in this area. So people living with the disease, people who are trying to deliver the program, so physiotherapists working across different healthcare settings, primary care, acute hospitals, private practices, GPs, who were a very important part of this whole network as well, and orthopaedic consultants, and also our patient support groups, so Arthritis Ireland are very much involved too. So bringing together this group of 14 wonderful people, and we meet 3 to 4 times a year to try and design what these implementation strategies are. And then we go out and, you know, deliver the program, and we take a look again. We measure, we collect data, and we come back and say, okay, what changes do we need to make now to make this more impactful and more effective? So this group have oversight in all of the research. They've co-designed the strategies that are used to implement the program. And I'm joined on this committee by Ian and Stacey. And I have to say that ensuring input from all of these stakeholders has been the key part of the success of the program to date.
Thanks, Clodagh. And I know that you have very strong views, and obviously your research is very much based around patient input and designing programs that will really affect their lives going forward. Stacey, if I could go to you now, can you tell us about your background and about your experience as a patient partner and member of the steering committee?
Thanks, Yvonne, and I'm delighted to be here. And thank you to Clodagh yourself for the invitation and to Ian. It's been lovely to meet Ian. A lot of what we've done has been online, so this is my first time meeting Ian face to face here today. So delighted to have had that opportunity. As you said earlier, I live with rheumatic muscular disease, and in many ways that has had a very significant and profounding impact in my life. I was diagnosed in my early 20s. I was finishing my degree. I went from being a really active individual that was going to classes, doing my thesis, doing projects, going to the gym 2 hours, 5 days a week, and part-time work as well at the same time, to not being able to get out of bed in the morning, to finding it difficult to get even walk up to go to classes, and then have to go through the weight of trying to get a diagnosis. But it has also been a great thing for me in other ways and has brought me many amazing gifts and things. One of those is meeting Clodagh and collaborating with Clodagh. But we've been doing this for a number of years now, and it has led to some wonderful things like meeting the most amazing people. And it's led me to being involved in lots of different projects. And, you know, my experience of living with rheumatic muscular disease comes from the day-to-day of trying to look for what's out there and with exercise and not being involved, able to find it in the community, and having to then look at other resources. And physiotherapy and exercise has had a huge part in my journey. And I suppose my role with this is that I'm on the steering committee for the project, which is the Impact Implementation of Osteoarthritis Clinical Guidelines Together. I'm also on the committee member for GLAAD Ireland. I'm a patient contributor researcher, and I ensure the voice of the patient is throughout the whole project, through all the different stages of the research process, conducting the work, and all the way through to dissemination to the different audiences. And I do that with my colleague, Jackie, who's also another patient contributor researcher. And we make sure that it's as collaborative as possible. And I think what's been really, really important is how we have gelled as a stakeholder team together and how collaborative it has become. But, you know, we have amazing team of so many different voices, such as GPs, physios, an orthopedic surgeon, and so on. And it's very rare to get such a great team together and have such a diverse conversation around all the issues that are around a disease area. And I suppose what is really unique is that I'm an equal partner. I have equal say, and I'm listened to, I'm heard, and the amount of communication back from other team members is how valuable my experience is to ensuring that the research outcomes for the patients that are going through this course and benefiting from this research and to improve their quality of life is there. And I suppose what I've learned through my journey is that every day is a school day. And what you don't get normally when you're out there looking for physiotherapy is the education journey. And that's what GLAAD gives to you. You're able to sit down for a couple of hours and get an amazing education experience of how best to implement these into your life and to have a better quality of life. And Clodagh's research really ensures that the research conducted is central to the needs of the people and prioritising the people at the heart of it. I would also feel it's probably an exemplary model really for building relationships, and the relationships we've built as a team is very unique, because Clodagh will pick up phone or email across, what do you think of these things? You don't get that every day of the week. But also the physiotherapist that she has trained across this, you know, there's a very unique relationship with the physiotherapist and the patients as well. And you know, we see them coming back again and looking for support, and we see them engaging back on the website and through social media. So that's really, really important. And I suppose the other thing that we have done that's probably a bit unique as well is that we have done a lot of presenting at different conferences. So myself, Claude and Jackie have presented the PPI research methodologies at two international conferences, one in integrated care, that was the North American conference in 2021. And then we also were involved with the back in Nick Payne form plenary in 2021, where we showcased the benefits of this approach to an engaged audience of researchers and clinicians. And I suppose we had a really unique experience there because we had to make our own avatars to present at this conference and things that you never get to do in your day-to-day life. So when the journey has been so wonderful and immense in being able to engage in technology and different tools that I would never have been able to use without these experiences. And no, it's led to many publications as well.
Thanks so much, Stacey, and thank you so much for sharing, I suppose, your personal journey and yourself, Ian, and what I'm hearing from the research. And it's really evident that this really patients and people suffering from this disease are at the heart of the future design of programs that will actually improve lives. And you being part of this, I suppose, as well, and the journey in which this research will take will improve lives for others going forward. And on that, I suppose, I just wanted to touch back with you, Stacey, on the impact the research is having for people with osteoarthritis and the health service in general.
Well, that's really, really important, is the impact. We do this for the impact. And I suppose osteoarthritis, there is very little out there for people with osteoarthritis, the area of exercise and education. So this is a really invaluable tool. And I suppose by introducing this, we have an international renowned evidence-based education program called GLAAD here in Ireland, thanks to Clodagh and Ian. And we have been able to facilitate the cultural adaptions of this to ensure it's right for the Irish setting. And we have trained over 100 physiotherapists. I don't often say more than 100 physiotherapists, but it's 100, to deliver the programme here in Ireland to date. And I suppose what's really important is the impact it has on the patients. But it's not just the patients, it's the families, it's the carers, it's the healthcare staff, it's the waiting lists, it's the service delivery. And, you know, the project we're seeing already coming through initial indications of the reduction in cost to musculoskeletal budget nationally, the reduction in the number of surgeries, reduced falls and the impact of those falls on the individual, but also on the healthcare system. Hospital bed nights are being reduced, and then the reduction in medications. And overall, we're seeing that people are moving more and less pain. And this really is improving the quality of life, the mental health of the people that are doing this, and greater for their families, their home life and society.
Yeah, and we actually published our first annual report last summer, and that was to give us an indication of kind of how we were doing after the first year of implementation. And that was important then as a time point for us to go back and assess if we were doing things right or if we needed to change anything. So since we collect patient outcomes before they go on the programme, again after the programme and again up to 12 months later, we can monitor the short-term and the long-term effectiveness of GLAAD. And we were definitely motivated by our initial findings. And these suggested that we have clinically meaningful reductions in pain, up to 45 to 50% reductions in medication use after taking part in the programme. We saw physical function increases, so that resulted in faster walking speeds, and participants reported increased quality of life. And then, you know, from the physiotherapist point of view, you know, physios all often report that they find it hard to run the group programs because they get high dropout rates. And we were delighted to see that over 90% of the participants attended almost all of the sessions. So that's more than 12 of the 14 sessions, which is actually quite rare.
Yeah. And it's actually those. So within GLAAD, there's the 12 exercise classes and 2 education sessions. And it's that increased time with the patients that I think is really valuable. As kind of Stacey's alluded to already, it can be isolating if you do get a diagnosis and you don't have that sort of outlet. So within the GLAAD program, as some of the people have called it in the groups, like you get to share your war stories. So they really enjoy that side of it, knowing that whether it's a knee or their hip, there's people within the group that they can share their stories with. But the GLAAD program then hopes to basically equip the patients, just give them a toolbox so they can help to manage their symptoms and have a better understanding of what osteoarthritis is. It's not a death sentence. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, there's a lot more that they can take control of in this condition. So that for me is one of the most important aspects of it. It promotes this active engagement with the people, so it empowers the patients.
Yeah, and we can really see, you know, that patients do enjoy taking part in the program. And in our results, we saw that over 90% were satisfied or very satisfied with the program. And 3 out of 4 rated their problem as somewhat better, better, or much better after GLAAD. And then we know from other countries that have implemented GLAAD, and this is kind of the value of having this international network, there's countries that have been implementing GLAAD for a lot longer than we have and have larger numbers. They've all seen that GLAAD can result in less need for the surgeries, which is, you know, the thing that's costing the country a lot of money and really long wait lists. So we'll be able to follow up on all of this information as well over the next few years to see if that's happening here too. And then even from the orthopedic consultant point of view, like, this is really useful information to have in terms of when they're making this decision-making process about whether a patient should go through surgery or not. And if the surgeon knows that this patient has been through this standardized evidence-based program, they know then that the patient has received care according to the clinical guidelines. And if we haven't seen improvements at this stage, then they're in a much better place to decide on whether they need more invasive treatments. And if that's now warranted, they can have that discussion.
Yeah, and I think that that's what we're kind of seeing now at the minute. You're seeing this change in the desire, and I kind of, when you're working as part of the steering committee, you have a lot of like-minded people that are there. But what I'm seeing now in the clinic and that is that change, that want, the desire. I mean, the healthcare system at the minute, it's overloaded. There's a significant burden that's been placed on it already. And what the GLAAD program does, it affords people time. And whether that's when you go to your GP and you get referred for an MRI, you've lost time, you're waiting on that MRI. You're waiting then for the MRI report. You're waiting then maybe possibly for a consultant opinion. So all this time there, then, instead of promoting maybe sedentary behavior, being linked into the GLAAD program, it kind of again empowers that patient and that person, and they're in a far better space by the time they do, if and when they do meet their consultant.
And I suppose the GLAAD program also allows for people to build a support structure for themselves, but also this period can be a worrying time for people, and they're on Dr. Google, and often the information they get is not trustworthy.
Which is never good.
That's never good. So this is really good, trustworthy information. It's renown based, and, you know, it gives people that ease to be not worrying and know that they're doing something that is safe for themselves and feel supported. And if they have questions, no matter how stupid they feel the question is, they have a professional to ask. And it's really all about empowering the person to take control and having the tools, whether they want to do something, whether that's get down on a floor and play with their child or kick a ball with their grandchild, to do the day-to-day things that they may not have done for a while, or push themselves a little bit more to go for a walk or engage in other social activities that they haven't done. And, you know, it's like you say, and empowering people is very, very important. And I suppose we're seeing that now with the results that are coming through and how people are now aware that there's a lot they can do instead of going down the surgery route, and what they can prepare themselves and maybe put off surgery or not have surgery, because there's certain people that don't want surgery and those things maybe not presented to them either before. So now they're given a choice and the support to be able to make informed choices and decisions, but also prepare better for surgery if that's the route they have to go down, and ensure they have better outcomes after that also.
Yeah, and I suppose you can clearly see that, I presume, while there's a pathway prior to making a decision for surgery, is there supports then afterwards if somebody does go down the route of surgery? They're more informed and they can link back in then with the GLAAD program and go, right, I've done the surgery, now what do I need to do to keep active or to manage the symptoms of these? Is that something that you're looking at?
Yeah, I think the program does cater for all aspects of where a person with osteoarthritis is along the spectrum, from the early stages to the late stages to even helping them post-surgery. Mm-hmm. You would hope that even from the educational side of things, that they're a lot more confident. They did everything they could possibly to maybe perhaps avoid surgery or delay the need for that surgery. But then when it comes to the surgery, they're in their best possible physical shape for that surgery, to handle all that comes with surgery mm-hmm. and the recovery period afterwards.
Which probably leads to improvement in the outcomes.
Yeah, well, I suppose our initial findings are all in keeping with our international colleagues who are a bit further down the line. So that's positive. I suppose it's all about gathering more and more data and then just strengthening the argument to create meaningful change at that national level.
Exactly. And yeah, and you know, you mentioned, you know, across the spectrum of OA, and I think that one of the nice things about GLAAD and what people don't realise about it is, even though it's a standardised programme, you know, the exercises themselves can really be adapted and individualised to the person in front of you. And that's why physios like it. You know, there's people who are, you know, in their 30s and their 40s in the classes, and then there's people in their 80s and their 90s, you know, and it really can be adapted to the person in front of them. So people with that early stage disease and then the more progressed. So yeah, physiotherapists tend to like it for that reason.
So thanks a million for the insight into the GLAAD project. Just if you could comment on, I suppose, how is this research funded? So obviously there's a large group, you're taking on really grand challenges and hoping to affect, which you are doing in your data capturing, the change to people living with this disease. How is this current research funded?
So when I sat down with Ian and back in 2018, there was a nice research grant that was coming up from the Health Research Board, and that was the Emerging Investigator Award. So, you know, we were successful in getting that. So that was a 4-year grant that began in October 2020. We're now into our final year of funding. So it's nice to actually watch it now come into full fruition and look at the next steps and what we can do to keep the ball rolling.
What makes you curious in terms of solving problems, or where, you know, what motivates you for making these changes, and how does the University of Limerick support you on that journey?
So the university helps to support me, again, by the people in it. So my colleagues, co-investigators and collaborators. So on this project, Professor Norley Kennedy, Professor Anne MacFarlane and Professor Liam Glynn, all in UL, and then internationally, Professor Ava Roos and Soren Skou, all give this project direction. Then we have the Health Research Institute, and there's enormous scope for collaboration, and we really drive each other on there. The Participatory Health Research Unit in particular, who with mentorship from Anne MacFarlane, support many of the methods that are being used. But this research actually fits into many research areas within the Institute, including Aging Research Centre, Physical Activity for Health Research Centre, and the Health Implementation and Science and Technology Research Cluster. So I'm actually quite lucky to be able to access knowledge and expertise from all of these areas. Then we have the School of Allied Health, and they've supported the programme because we run many of our courses for physiotherapists from the Health Sciences building here. And we also have a wonderful PhD student, Avantika Vardwaj, who has been instrumental in identifying some of the barriers and facilitators to implementation. And this is through a lot of the qualitative interviews that she's doing. And she's now in the final year of her PhD. And then we're also supported by research assistants, Peter Hempenstahl, and before that, Tyke Pine, all also in the School of Allied Health. Well, I would say it's definitely people that make me curious. And I suppose in the participatory approach that we use, like these people around the table, they keep me curious, I think, and keep me asking questions and driving us along this path. You know, the physiotherapists that we speak to at courses, and Ian helps me to deliver those as a GLAAD tutor. We speak to physios working in all different settings all around the country, all four provinces, and having conversations with them and conversations with the patients, you know, keep those research questions going. I think in particular what drives me are, you know, inequities we see across health systems. So trying to figure out why people who are not getting access, I suppose, to the standards of care and what we can do about it. So to bring up an example for one of the other projects that was actually born out of this work, came about from kind of having those conversations with physios and with patients with joint disease. So even though, you know, we're doing our best to get GLAAD out as quickly as possible and to change the healthcare service around that, you know, we're still limited in terms of how fast these things can be implemented. And the main reason why people aren't getting access to these services is limited resources, you know, high staff turnovers, potentially lack of space within the environment to run these types of programs. So that just means that patients are, you know, often still sitting on waiting lists, you know, not only wait lists for surgery, but even waiting lists for physiotherapy, you know, that they can't get access there. And patients don't necessarily know what to do in the meantime when they have pain, other than maybe take the medications they're prescribed that aren't always very effective, often have, you know, side effects. And, you know, one of the biggest myths surrounding osteoarthritis is if it hurts, that you're doing damage. We're really trying our best to dispel that myth. People are fearful of movement, fearful of exercising and being active with pain because they think they're doing damage. you can actually expect to have a little bit of pain when you exercise with osteoarthritis, and that's okay. The pain often does reduce over time when you continue to exercise, and we've no evidence to suggest that you're doing any further damage to your joint. So we mentioned the education piece in GLAAD, and that's really central to the program and a huge part of the clinical recommendations for osteoarthritis, and it's often not done very well. And that's because healthcare professionals don't have the time to sit down with the patients and deliver all of this information to them, to deliver this evidence-based knowledge. What we knew we needed to do was, you know, something to intervene at this point while a patient is sitting on a wait list, to get them that information about what they can do and what they can't do. And actually, at the same time, a colleague of mine in UL, Dr. Helen O'Leary, she's a postdoctoral fellow and a physiotherapist at University Hospital Kerry. She's doing a project on degenerative meniscal tears, which is actually earlier in the spectrum of osteoarthritis, but was having the same conversations with clinicians about having access to resources for education for patients. So we really recognized this need. We got in touch with Stacey here, who's also involved in this project, Professor Karen McCreesh, Professor Liam Glynn and UL, other collaborators at La Trobe University in Melbourne, and also Arthritis Ireland, to try and see if we could do something about getting this knowledge out there a bit easier. And we were successful in getting a knowledge translation award from the Health Research Board for this purpose. So this funding actually allows us to disseminate all of this knowledge that we've built up across our respective projects to get this information out there. So what we're doing is we are building up what types of online resources are being used in Ireland and in other countries. We're trying to identify what healthcare professionals and people with joint pain want and what they need in terms of educational resources. So we're now co-designing a free Irish website with end users called jointpain.ie. And we're hoping that this should be available by summer 2024. So watch out for it, a little plug there.
And Clodagh, where to next for this research?
Well, I guess the beauty of the way this is designed is that, you know, we're constantly looking at our implementation strategies and how we can tailor and modify them. So it is, you know, a program that is evolving as we go, and we can tailor it. So if there's an issue where we find, you know, things aren't being implemented as well, we can adapt that for our next training course, for example, and teach our physiotherapists in a different way. So, you know, we'll be doing that as we go. We also want to look at more of the long-term effects of the program. As I said, we've only kind of looked at the first year of implementation so far, but over the next few years, we'll really be able to see, you know, what are the changes out at 12 months after someone has taken a program, and to look at that nationally. We have this national register that we can now look at. Also, the program has been adopted by the National Clinical Program of Trauma and Orthopaedic Surgery in their pilot pathway for hip and knee osteoarthritis. So GLAAD will be one of the programs that is implemented at the pilot level, and then hopefully at a national level after that. There's also a GLAAD back program for back pain. So down the line, we hope to also implement that within Ireland.
Thanks for that, Clodagh. And if you could tell the listeners, where can they find out more information about the GLAAD program?
So all of our annual reports, we have videos, our research, the list of locations offering the programme, and also information on upcoming courses can be found on our website, which is www.gladireland.ie. Our next course is on the 2nd of March 2024 for physiotherapists, which is going to be held at St. Vincent's Private Hospital in Dublin, and we'll have more courses announced throughout the year. You can also email us at gladireland@ul.ie to join our mailing list. We have biannual newsletters and bits and pieces that we can send you throughout the year if you're interested.
Thanks, Clodagh. Many thanks for your time today. Your work truly exemplifies research excellence with impact. You have been listening to Clodagh Toomey, Research Fellow, School of Allied Health, Faculty of Education and Health Sciences, winner of the Early Career Researcher Starting Award 2023. Ian Dowling, Chartered Physiotherapist, and Stacey Grealis, Patient Researcher and collaborators on the GLAAD Ireland project. This research has been supported by the Health Research Board and the Faculty of Education and Health Sciences Early Career Researchers Seed Funding. If you would like to hear more about research impact, please go to our website, ul.ie/research. Thank you for listening.